Okay. Now, last segment, I focused in on particular history. Right now, I focus in again one particular point in history. what I'm trying to do by doing that is use it as an example of the bigger picture, okay? And one of my favorite points in history that I've enjoyed studying was the Civil War. So I've picked that as a point in time. And I'm going to discuss three people within that period of time. All of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses Grant, who was his top general during the Civil War, and John Brown, who was an abolitionist, who, because of his activities, he provoked the South into wanting to have an armed rebellion. So we're going to focus in on these three men, and I think that will give you an example of how things have been going down through the years. Let's focus in on John Brown first. John Brown was a Freemason and a Rosicrucian, so was his father, and he was taught by a man named George Lippard to be an anti-slavery abolitionist. George Lippard started the anti-slavery society. Another Rosicrucian at the time who was also an abolitionist was William Lloyd Garrison, and he started that anti-slavery society in 1832, and he was a member of the Order of the Rose, which was an occult organization in England, in 1834. John Brown did not understand much about the scriptures. He was a murderer. His sons were murderers. John Brown, as he traveled, happened to go through a Mormon settlement where they were teaching blood atonement, that if you sinned, you could atone for your sin by shedding real blood. And so he picked up one of the few things that he thought he knew about the Bible, and that was, for the wages of sin is death, and he thought that that meant if someone was a sinner, gave them the right to blow them away with a shotgun. The Illuminati had decided that the United States was getting too big and too powerful and rich, that they needed to divide and conquer. There are a whole number of reasons as to why they decided to create the Civil War. One was just they love to be greedy, and war is a great opportunity to make all kinds of profit from the privateering and running drugs, and, because like during the Civil War, there was as great a drug problem with the population then as there is today. And morphine and things like this and opium were smuggled in, and great profits were made. So for a number of reasons, the Illuminati made their decision. There were some high-level meetings that were carried out that I could talk about. And then they had to have men to implement these decisions. There was a club called the Bird Club, which met in Boston in a hotel, and this Bird Club had a member called Senator Charles Sumner, who had gone over to Europe and met with Illuminati leaders, for instance Giuseppe Mazzini, and he came back with instructions for the Bird Club. Most of the men in the Bird Club were Unitarians. Some of you may be familiar with the Unitarian Church. Anyway, there was a Unitarian reverend named Higginson and one named Parker and another one named Stearns, who happened to have a lead pipe company. And if you know what drinking water that's filtered through lead does to you. And then there was another man, Garrett Smith. His father, Garrett Smith's father, had been a co-worker with John Jacob Astor I, who was an Illuminati kingpin who we'll discuss later. Garrett Smith was a multimillionaire. And another one, a member, was Dr. Samuel Howe and Franklin Benjamin Sanborn. They reversed the name of Benjamin Franklin, who he is named after. These men were conspirators to run munitions and money to John Brown to carry out armed revolution. In fact, there were even somebody brought in who was a Jewish Freemason, Amschel Bondi, from Europe, who was a professional revolutionist, who was active in several other revolutions that were started by the Masons later on. And he worked with John Brown to create an armed revolution. And what's interesting is that these men put on a front of being believers and pacifists, while at the same time were smuggling weapons. Now, the next person that I would like to talk about during that time period is Hiram Grant. Ulysses Grant's actual name was Hiram S. Grant. He was named after Hiram Abiff, the sun god of the Masons. His dad was a master mason who was leader of a lodge. And Ulysses Grant's father worked for John Brown's father until he quit working with him and went into business with E.A. Collins. Well, now I need to go back in history a little bit. I'm going to be talking to you about the top 13 Illuminati bloodlines, and the Collins bloodline is one of the top 13 Illuminati bloodlines. There's a man named Francis Collins who brought witchcraft over with the Puritans. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans came over, there was large groups of witches that came over that set up congregations that were called Presbyterian and Congregational churches, but these later developed into groups like Unitarian churches. But at the time, in the colonies in that area in New England, they almost had what you would call a theocracy, and the state supported the church. And so if you wanted your church to receive money from the state, you had to be a member of the state church. So these Unitarian churches, or these witchcraft churches, of course didn't. They called themselves Puritan or Congregational churches. Later, the Unitarians separated when it was no longer financially beneficial to them and created the Unitarian denomination and started Yale and Harvard. And they also then later merged with the Universalist Church. Well, Hiram was a very lazy, unkempt boy of no promise. And so his father, being well connected, because by the way, I might mention that Hiram Grant's father was Jesse Root Grant, and you're familiar with the Root name, Elijah Root, those who study conspiracy. And Jesse Root Grant was of the Collins family. And being well connected, since Hiram showed no promise, they got him an appointment through their connections to West Point. When he got to West Point, they gave him the name Ulysses after the Greek mythological character. Well, he came from the town of Georgetown, which barely had 1,000 people in that little village, and yet there were over 20 high-ranking generals within the Union Army that came out of that little town. There were 4 generals and 1 colonel in the Union Army before the Civil War started, and then they added to that 9 more generals from that little village alone. Had a lot of pull. The Grants later had a branch off of them these bloodlines are like trees. They branch out in many different directions. The Grants later branched into the Wheelers, and my co-author on two of my books was someone who came out of the Illuminati, and she was under their mind control, and her father was a Wheeler. And her great uncle, in other words, this man here, General Earl Grant Wheeler, he was a descendant of Hiram Ulysses Grant. And you will not hear very much about Earl Wheeler, but Earl Wheeler was in charge of the U.S. forces during the Vietnam War. And underneath him, or working with him, was McNamara, who was also an Illuminati Satanist. But interestingly, the Vietnam War, which was created by the Illuminati to create a drug culture in the United States, had their man, Earl Wheeler, sitting there as the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and his brother, who was named Ulysses Grant Wheeler, his brother's son, Leo Wheeler, was on the west coast of the United States helping bring in the drugs from Vietnam. Now, Ulysses Grant, he entered the U.S. Army when the Civil War started on April 23rd, 1861. And on August 7th, 1864, he was made commander-in-chief of the entire Union forces. And then that was antedated back to May 17th, 1864. So what we see here is Ulysses Grant going from buck private to commander-in-chief of the entire Union forces in 3 years. Now, one of the branches of the Collins family that branched out before the 19th century started was the Todd family. And guess who married a Todd? Abraham Lincoln. He married into the Todd Collins family. And his wife had seances in the White House. Well, let's discuss a little bit more about General Grant. General Grant later became President of the United States, and on his cabinet he had 8 Masons. And he also had a man named Columbus Delano, I think, as his Secretary of State. Delano was an ancient elite family that goes back to the black nobility in Venice. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt is a descendant of his. It's a very small world at the top. And the Lee family is one of the top 13 Illuminati families. And there was a man named the Bismarck of the East. He was the chief military man in Asia at the time that General Grant was president. His name was General Lee of the Lee Illuminati family, and he was best of friends with General Grant. And they visited each other. Anna Grant, of course, like so many of these Illuminati figures, he went to Egypt and visited the pyramids and to the island of Malta. And he also had Alfonso Taft on his cabinet. And Alfonso Taft is the blood forefather of Clinton. Now let's discuss Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's mother, Nancy Hanks, was visiting a town called Lincolnton, North Carolina. And there was a branch of the Rothschild family, which is also one of the top 13 Illuminati bloodlines. And their branch had been branched off as the Springsteins, and then they had shortened it, I think, probably to cover their lineages, to Springs. And you see Abraham Lincoln's half-brother there, Leroy Springs. the Springs, which were Rothschilds, impregnated Nancy Hanks, and she, out of the thin blue air, created the fictional person Thomas Lincoln. And if you go to some of these encyclopedias, they'll say, we know nothing about Thomas Lincoln. Well, there's a good reason. He is created out of thin air, and the world order has been trying to manufacture evidence that the man lived because they try to cover up the tracks of all of this. But the fact is that there never was a Thomas Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was a Rothschild, and the Rothschilds or the Illuminati was aware of who he was. Abraham Lincoln became one of the leaders of the Rosicrucians. He was one of the Order of the Lily, and one of the three men that ran the Rosicrucians in the United States at the time. So when he talks in his speeches about God and these other things, if you ever get around some of these Rosicrucians in Quakertown, you'll see that they use all the terms that Christians use, but they have different meanings to them. And let's take a look at Lincoln. For his cabinet, you'll find a whole lot of nefarious characters on his cabinet too. He had Salmon Chase. If you've ever heard of Chase Manhattan that the Rockefellers are associated with, well, that was named after Salmon Chase, who was Secretary of Treasury for Abraham Lincoln. Salmon Chase was instrumental while he was Secretary of the Treasury to bring in a graduated income tax, and he also created a national bank during Lincoln's administration, which later became a Federal Reserve. And just talking a little bit about how this all connects, you've heard of Shirley MacLaine. Well, she's of the Beatty family, okay? Well, who was Lincoln's lawyer? When he was president, he had a lawyer who was named Bart Moore, and Bart Moore was of the Beatty Illuminati family. The cabinet of Abraham Lincoln was involved with a scam, involved with the Credit Mobilier, which ties back in with the Rothschilds and all these other people in Europe. Anyway, Lincoln's cabinet was caught in a scam where they were found to have cheated the taxpayers $23 million. Now, but our cabinets today are probably scamming worse. Lincoln had a secret liaison with King Leopold. And if you get into understanding the royalty in Europe, you'll find out that they're the 13th Illuminati bloodline. And he had twins. He had Ella and Emily, a pair of twins, from the daughter of King Leopold. Now, as advisors to Grant, there was a man called Jonas Mills Bundy. And Jonas Mills Bundy was advisor to Grant, President Grant, President Garfield, and Chester Arthur. Okay, well, who is Garfield? I mean, Garfield relates to all this too, because remember, we go back to John Brown and him being a Rosicrucian and everything. Well, the Jonas Mills Bundy was of the Bundy Illuminati family, and he was these president's advisors, right? Well, Garfield was a descendant of a man named Hosea Ballou. Hosea Ballou was a high-ranking Freemason who went all throughout New England, and he should be a famous figure in American history because he did a lot, but you won't find him hardly anywhere, and you know, presence is almost obliterated from history. But Hosea Ballou created the Universalist churches that were so active in New England. And one of the churches he set up, Joseph Smith Sr., who was Joseph Smith Jr.'s father, was a member of. Now, Joseph Smith Jr. started the Mormon Church. Joseph Smith Jr. came from a powerful occult family that belonged to a secret witchcraft fraternity, and in the town that they were in, they were called the Fraternity of Rodsmen. But anyway, as a cover, as a front, they joined the Universalist Church. So you're beginning to see that there's all kinds of connections between these people. And then, of course, in the Bundy family, you see McGeorge Bundy becoming an advisor later on to Kennedy and Johnson. And you see Harvey Bundy, who was a chief supreme justice, or no, Harvey Bundy was a chief of the Manhattan Project to create the atom bomb. So there you see the Bundy Illuminati family coming into this. So here are some of the people from this time period. Louis Cass Pazur, he was a very powerful man during the Civil War time, but he's been obliterated from history. The Merovingians dynasty is the 13th bloodline, the Holy Bloodline, and you can read about it in the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And they believe that they're descendants of Christ, and they're also descendants of Lucifer, who, as they would say, are brothers. And one of the Merovingians, who was a secret crown prince of France, came over to this country, and his descendant, Louis Cass Pazur, then hired Leroy Springs' father, A.A. Springs. A.A. Springs... Louis Pazur hired Leroy Springs, and Leroy Springs' father, A.A. Springs, was the father of Abraham Lincoln. So that's how that all ties in. And you'll see more about the 13th bloodline, which happens to be in all of the royalty of Europe. All of the royalty in Europe are part of the Merovingian or the 13th Illuminati bloodline. I thought it was just kind of interesting, too. Grant's face and... Earl Wheeler, General Earl Wheeler's face, almost identical noses and frowns. I mean, it just amazed me. It didn't come out very good on the overhead, but almost identical faces. Kind of humorous. Well, talking about, I've got one more thing before I get to humor.